Second category there, there are psalm settings in the Trinity Psalter that are in the hymnal. So if you have the hymnal, you will be building fellowship there with Psalter users by making use of these settings. For example, Psalm 16, turn to it. Let's sing verses 10 and 11.
My soul you will not leave, in death's dark pit to be. Corruption you will not permit your Holy One to see. The path of life you'll show, of joy you hold great store. Before your face at your right hand are pleasures evermore.
By the way, that's of course a great one for Easter Sunday. Peter cites that psalm in his Pentecost sermon as David speaking of the resurrection. Psalm 23, to Crimen, I assume you know that. Psalm 46, the Materna is only in the blue. In the red Trinity, you have different music, and we're going to get to that in a minute, but I'll come back to it. Psalm 51, to Redhead, turn to 51. Perfect marriage of words and tune, I think. First stanza.
God be merciful to me, on thy grace I rest my plea. In thy vast abounding grace, my transgressions all erase. Wash me wholly from my sin, cleanse from every ill within.
By the way, let me note that in the back of my Bible, I have a little list, the very back page, the right column. It says Psalm 23, 46, 91, 121, 103. I wrote that back there when I started 17 years ago at Independent in Savannah, because I wanted to know psalms to read to people in the hospital when they were, you know, ailing and in discomfort. And these were psalms of comfort. I only point that out because, aside from Psalm 23, I had no idea what those other psalms were about, what their first line was, what their content was. So that I was starting as a senior minister at a church established in 1755 in the heart of a southern city, and I was absolutely clueless about the Psalter. And I'd been ordained for 5 years. In other words, my knowledge of the Psalter was appallingly bad. And what I know today, which is fairly good. That's bad English. Anyway, I've learned a lot, but almost all of it has to do with singing them. So another one of those benefits is people will just know the Psalter. They'll know where to turn. They know what's what, where the great phrases are, and what psalms fit what occasions, just by singing them week in and week out. Psalm 66 is another great missionary psalm to Miles Lane. These are, again, are all in the Trinity Hymnal or in the hymn book. Psalm 84, turn to it to... Okay, we have another of the Welsh tunes. If you are noting a bias for Welsh tunes, I confess it. And the minor keys really work well, I think, with psalms. They're just suited for them. Langlofen? That was close. Huh? Yeah. Psalm 84. Let's sing the first two stanzas. By the way, this gives me the opportunity... This gives me the opportunity to point out that you'll find it in the Trinity Hymnal if you want to look there. To point out that the Book of Psalms for Singing Music Edition is a great resource that unfortunately is not available here today. But that didn't get published until, I don't know, 7 or 8 years after we published the Words Edition, and that hurt the cause. And by the way, 37,000 copies of the Psalter have been sold in the last 10 years. This is the 10th anniversary, and Crown and Covenant is going to produce a leather-bound edition of it to commemorate the 10 years, a gift edition quality of it. Mm-hmm.
Thy tabernacle's holy in pleasantness excel. My soul is longing, fainting, Jehovah's courts to see. My heart and flesh are crying, O living God, for thee. Behold the...
And let's sing two stanzas of 121.
I to the hills will lift my eyes, from whence shall come my aid. My safety cometh from the Lord, who heaven and earth has made. Thy foot he'll not let fly, nor will he slumber that thee keep. Lo, he that keepeth Israel, he slumbers not nor sleep.
All right, turn to 124, the old 100th. Now this is the Genevan tune with the Genevan Psalm. So one old, it says old 124th. That's referring to the old Psalter, the old Genevan. So whenever you see the word old, that usually means it's a Genevan tune. And let's, if you know the hymn to the tune Too Long, it's very similar. There's one line that's different. So I greet thee, who my sure Redeemer art. You got to watch that third line that you don't go where it doesn't go.
Now Israel may say, and that in truth, if that the Lord had not a right retained, if that the Lord had not with us remained, when cruel men against us rose to strike, we surely had been swallowed up alive.
I'm so eager for you to get that one. Let's go ahead and look at it in the hymnal and sing that first stanza again. Now Israel may say, that's number 614. Watch the bouncing ball, those of you who are not able to read the music.
Now Israel may say, and that in truth, if that the Lord hath not our right maintained, if that the Lord hath not with us remained, when cruel men against us rose to strike, we surely had been swallowed up alive.
135 and 142 are very good. 46, Ripley.
Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, oh my soul, Jehovah, praise. I will sing the glorious praises of my God through all my praise. Confidence in princes, nor for help to men depend. He shall die to dust returning, and his purposes shall end.
Your people should not go to the grave not having sung that psalm. I'm telling you, you're sinning against God if you don't expose them to that. All right. Some creative new combinations, more or less creative. Psalm 6 to Truin, that is a debtor to mercy alone. Psalm 7 to Toulon, I greet thee, who my sure redeemer art. Psalm 11 to Tera Beta, this is my father's world. Psalm 13, and we use Psalm 31 to passion chorale. O sacred head now wounded. Turn the page, other creative combinations. Psalm 18 to sweet hour of prayer. Psalm 19 to Columbia. I think that works very well. Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? To the tune Horsley. By the way, I have X's or pluses. Wherever you see the pluses, that means it's there, that those settings are to be found in the Trinity Psalter CDs, either Volume 1 or Volume 2. That it's a beautiful collection of the Psalms that are very, very well sung by the Scottish Festival singers. They're both available back there, discounted, cheap. They'll be a big help to you and to your people in learning the psalm tunes. Psalm 31 to St. Theodulf, but we've started using Passion Chorale because it works so well at Easter time, and it is a clearly messianic psalm. Psalm 37, let's sing the first stanza of Psalm 37.
Disturbing thoughts about those doing wickedly, and be not envious of those who work iniquity, or even like the blowing grass, soon be cut down shall they. And like the green ender grass, they all shall fade away.
Now, I think that, again, is near perfect combination of words and music. Were you able to find Merton? Okay, let's skip Merton, but it is on the CDs, and it's a beautiful English choral tune that I think really works well with that psalm. That psalm, Lord, do not in hot displeasure speak in stern reproof to me. Really beautiful tune that for that. Psalm 42, I need thee every hour. Psalm 41 to Salzburg. Salzburg is, you know, that may be on the CD. I may not have marked that properly. 44 to Dominus Regis Me, one of the settings for the 23rd Psalm. Psalm 48 to Warham, Great God, we sing that mighty hand. Great God, we sing that mighty hand. You all know that one? Let's see. Bangor, Psalm 60, that is on the CD. Another beautiful English choral tune. Psalm 63, turn there to St. Columba. Another, I think, really beautiful, appropriate, fitting combination of words and tunes. Let's sing verses 1 and 2.
God, thee, my God, I'll early seek. My soul's athirst for thee. On dry land, weary, waterless, my flesh has longed for thee. Thus have I
Psalm 71 to St. Christopher, which is beneath the cross of Jesus. Psalm 74 to rest. Psalm 79 to St. Leonard. Brother James Eyre for 81. You probably are familiar with that. The Lord's my shepherd, I not want, he makes me down to lie. Fairly well known. St. George's Windsor for Psalm 85 is Come Ye Thankful People Come. Psalm 87 to Richmond is from the old Burgundy hymnal, but I think it's a very pretty tune. The hymn City of God was set to it. Psalm 113 to Monkland is a tune from Out of the Blue Trinity. Let us with a gladsome mind. Did any of you ever use that one? I don't know how that possibly got omitted from the Red Trinity, but it did. Great tune, great psalm, great setting. 115 to Dix is For the Beauty of the Earth. 118 to St. Asaph is not as well known, but I think that I don't know if we're going to have that music available. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. But it is a tremendous Easter hymn. In the Dutch Reformed Church, let's see, what do you sing on Easter Sunday without fail in the Dutch Reformed Church? You better have the right answer. Which one? There's an Easter psalm, though, that I was told is always sung, at least in Holland, on every Easter Sunday. Oh, I put you on the spot, didn't I? 118. 118th, yes. So, anyway.
And then that's the Navarra tune, that's the Genevan psalm.
Right. Right. In fact, Dr. Godfrey has a story about one of the parishioners in Escondido who was born and reared in Holland and came to the United States, and every Easter Sunday they sang Christ the Lord is Risen Today, and he just pined for the day when he'd be able to go back to Holland and sing the 118th on Easter Sunday, and finally got the money to go back and went back and was ready to go on Easter Sunday, and they stood up and they sang Christ the Lord is Risen Today. Do you have that to a common meter? Let me hear it. Yeah. Let's go ahead. You won't know the tune probably. Let's go ahead and sing verses 20 through 23. This is Jehovah's Gate to this tune.
This is Jehovah's Gate. By it the just shall enter in. I'll praise Thee who has heard my prayer and has my safety been. That stone is made head cornerstone, which builders did despise. This is the doing of the Lord, and wondrous in our eyes.
Well, you can see some of the difficulties in learning unknown tunes, but they're worth persevering with. Okay, 119 to Stockholm, which is another of the familiar hymn tunes, Only Trust Him. 119 again to He Leadeth Me. 126 to Olivet, which, again, I don't know these as well. Which one is Olivet? 126 is My Faith Looks Up to Thee. Glasgow 128, Nettleton, or 127 rather, is in the on the CD. 128, Nettleton, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Let's sing 130 to Alas and Did My Savior Bleed. Out of the Depths, two stanzas.
From the depths to Thee I cry, My Lord, give ear to me. Supplicating plea, Lord, who shall stand if Thou, my Lord, shouldst mark iniquity? But yet with Thee forgiveness is, that men may reverence Thee.
138 to Hursley, which is Son of My Soul, Thou Savior Dear. That's a beautiful tune. 145 to Duke Street. That's Jesus Shall Reign, Where the Sun. That's a great combination. Lancashire to 147. Turn to 150. We weren't sure if this was going to work, but it works with our congregation. Hopefully it'll work with you. Yes. Haydn's tune, Creation.
Praise ye the Lord, praise unto God. within his sanctuary red, within his firmament of power, to him on high, oh, give ye praise, oh, praise him for his mighty deed, for all his acts of providence, oh, praise him for his glory great, and for his matchless excellence.
So the next category, four dynamic unknowns. These are mostly from the Book of Psalms for singing. Most of them are on the CDs. I thought all of these were great tunes. I'd never heard them before. But you can learn new tunes, and they fit the words well. I think the world of all of these. Creative changes in suggested tunes. I don't like the idea of a lot of changes being made, but I would say at least 10% of these need some help. And so, open and interested. And among the things that we've tried is Psalm 35 to the RUF, When I Survey, which I can't really call to mind. How's that go? That's it. Yeah, it works. Turn to 35, just to prove a point. 35. Lord, plead against, join me please, contending foes, and fight with them who fight with me. Take hold of buckler and of shield. Rise up and my defender be. All right, turn to 71. Is it in there? Oh, it's in the hymnal? What's it called? All right. My mistake. 71. Now, I'll just have to say, I don't like the idea of taking beloved tunes that are connected with beloved words and messing with them. It just divides the generations. And if you come into my church and you sing When I Survey to something other than Hamburg, you're going to have half the congregation upset because they love that. Why divide the generations? Why not take these creative new tunes that people are writing, and find words that nobody knows? There's lots of Doddridge and Watts out there that are crying out for good tunes that have great lyrics. And likewise, Psalms. So I took there Beneath the Cross of Jesus and use it with Psalm 71. So join me again.
Oh Lord, in Thee I'm trusting. Ashamed let me not be. Oh, save me in Thy righteousness. Give ear and rescue me. Be Thou my rock, my dwelling place, my constant safe resort. Thou my salvation hast ordained, Thou art my rock and fort.
All right, a couple of others. Turn in the hymnal to number 40 in the Trinity hymnal. That is Psalm 46 to Bethlehem. I think that that's better than any of the other alternatives. Nope, that's the wrong one. What did I say? Number 40, yes. Number 40 in the hymnal. Let's sing it to the first stanza to this. Great setting.
God is our refuge and our strength, our very present age. And therefore, though the earth remove, we will not be afraid. Though hills amidst the seas be cast, though troubled waters roar, yea, though the sweaty billows shake the mountains on the shore.
Now, isn't that a great, majestic, upbeat tune for those words? All right, one other, Psalm 72. And Bill, if you would turn to number 36 in the Trinity hymnal for Puer Nobis, our former choir director suggested this combination for use at Christmas time. And I think it works better than anything else that we tried, and I think it works very well. So why don't you play the tune through once so they can hear it. Do you know this tune? Very messianic. The wise men coming, bringing their gifts. Great, great one for Christmas time.
Thy judgments give the king his reigning son by righteousness. He to thy people right shall bring, with justice shall the poor exist.
Okay, now let me try to finish here fairly quickly with the strategies for implementing. One, I recommend you start with the hymnal. Hopefully you have Trinity hymnals. If you don't, you're at a disadvantage. But if you have them or the Burgundy hymn book, just start pointing out to people when you use psalms and actually put it in the hymnal that this is a psalm. And get them used to the idea of singing psalms. If you have the hymn book or the Trinity hymnals, you have a rich collection from which you can draw. And if you have, if some of them you don't like the tunes, you can, you know, you can replace them, but start there with what you have, and you can go a long way with that. A second recommendation is in smaller group gatherings, like prayer meetings, use psalms. We have a Tuesday morning prayer meeting. All we sing is from the Psalter for the prayer meeting, and that's become customary. They're used to it, and so we're reinforcing the singing of psalms every time we meet on Tuesday morning. With, you know, that tends to be the more committed group. They're more willing to do what you want them to do, maybe. And so work with those folks. Third, sing one psalm a Sunday and work up to one per service. Your denomination, if you're PCA, has recommended to you that you do that. And it's reaffirmed that 2 years ago, that a psalm should be sung in every service. I don't think it's being done all that much, really, in the PCA. But I think that that's what we ought to be aiming at. And you can start with one per Sunday. Maybe one every service would feel like too much. Well, how about one a Sunday, where you actually direct them to the psalm and sing it, or get permission from Crown and Covenant and start photocopying and passing them out for one per Sunday, and then work up to where it becomes just customary that you sing a psalm in every. You have a hymns that you sing psalms as well every service. Fourth, feature a psalm of the month in the newsletter and sing it in the services and reward the children who learn it. Every 6 months, see who can recite 6 months' worth of psalms and give out little rewards or recognition or buy them a hot dog or do something. But start getting the whole congregation learning a hymn of the month, a psalm of the month, and begin to expand the repertoire of the congregation. We sang from Psalm 1 to Psalm 150. We were the guinea pigs for the Trinity Psalter. On the basis of that experience, I recommend that you not do that. But that you start with these easy, familiar, the most accessible songs. Don't start with bashing children's heads against the rocks for lyrics. And don't start with odd, foreign, bizarre, aloof, distant, hard tunes. Go with easy tunes, accessible psalms, like Psalm 23, like Psalm 1. Where they can pick it up fairly quickly and use those as psalms for the month. At the back of the family worship book, there's a schedule for 10 years for learning psalms and learning hymns. Those are the ones that I think are the best collection. It didn't come down from Sinai. I know it's a fallible list, but it might give you a starting place. Fifth, promote the Psalms of the Trinity Psalter CDs, volumes 1 and 2, and Hymns Triumphant. Hymns Triumphant had a big impact on my life. It's still out there. It's still available. And between the two of those, I don't know, there must be 100 hymns. You know, they go rapidly from one to the next. It's beautifully arranged. Volume 1 is the London Symphony Orchestra of the Hymns Triumphant, and a British choir that's nice and subdued. And Volume 2 is not as outstanding, but it's still very good. And then the two CDs for the Psalter, you have about 60 psalms. 60 out of 150, that's not bad. That gets them pretty far down the road. And they're easy listening type of productions where you can just pop them in and listen to them. And you'll find a lot of your people will do that. And so they'll be picking up the tunes and be eager to sing them. And you'll be shaping musical tastes of your young people as well as the whole congregation. Some people like contemporary stuff because they just don't know any better. They're not familiar with the richness of the church's music. The most beautiful music ever written in the history of the world was written for the Christian church. And it's just dismaying to see how ignorant we are of that treasure that we have. Sixth, you can use them as choral calls to worship. You can have the choir sing if you have choral calls and that sort of thing. Use postludes that the choir sings. You can use lines from the Psalms. Our congregation concludes most services singing the last stanza of the 23rd Psalm. Goodness and mercy, all thy days shall surely follow thee. So it works well. All right, just some of the resources. If you'll turn to page 13 of the handout. I've been started trying to just write what I think are needed, which are little, not outlines, don't try to give detailed outline of the psalm, but just 2 and 3 sentence introductions. And some of these are a little longer than that, so I'll probably cut them up. But I think it helps just to give a little bit, a couple of sentence introduction to the psalm. It's maybe something historical, maybe something from the content, maybe the best known verse, maybe the theme, but a couple of words just to introduce the psalm, where it's quoted in the New Testament, those sorts of things. If you keep thumbing through, then I've given you some quotes that I just pulled from here, there, and everywhere on psalm singing from various and sundry people and sources. And I ran these in our bulletin for a while. That's through 27, 28. And then I ran a series in the bulletin on Calvin's implementation of psalm singing in Geneva. I just used these a paragraph at a time for a while. Page 31, Psalms of the Resurrection. Most Easters I hand these out and we sing them before the evening service when people are gathering. We just go through these and remind ourselves by doing so of the Psalms, the theme of the resurrection in the Psalms. The next is a Monday-Thursday service of lessons in Psalms that takes you... This is also found in the leading in worship, but I've added the triumphal entry, which is not found in the leading in worship version of it. And so it takes you from triumphal entry to betrayal to rejection, right on through the ascension. And what it does is it takes the New Testament text and which cites the psalm which prophesies of the event. And it's patterned after the Lessons and Carols service that was made famous in England and is used all over the country now. But using that pattern, New Testament text, psalm that is cited as prophesying of that event, and then sing the psalm that is cited by the New Testament writer. Well, the bottom line here is the Psalter is the hymn book of the Bible, and it needs to be sung. The Psalter is the prayer book of the Bible. It's from it that we get our devotional language. And by singing it, we'll learn the language of praise and the language of confession and the language of trust and the language of complaint and to give expression to the whole range of Christian experience. And I think that we will be a better church and a stronger church, and we will develop a more distinctively biblical piety as we nurture the people on the Psalms as they are sung. Questions? Yes. Well, I'm not hostile. You know, the exclusive psalm singers don't like Watts because Watts introduced hymns, and hymns supplanted psalms, and that has been a tragedy in the history of the church. But if I've worked my way through Psalms of David Imitated, and I think we'd be way ahead of the game if all we sang was the Psalms of David Imitated. I mean, he makes explicit what's implicit. He makes overt the references to Christ, and perhaps he over-edited and overplayed his hand. And some of them are pretty remote from the text of the Psalms, but a lot of them follow very closely. So I think it's a great work, and we could draw on it, but I wouldn't want it to replace metrical psalm singing with it. What do you think?
I think in a congregation that wholly unfamiliar metrical sign. But to point out that in most of our hymnals, there are probably some psalm renditions of Watts that are actually psalms. Now, there's another issue, the issue of a biblical theological issue of what's your response to those who say that you never sin in the name of God. I know what did. But it's a valid question. And to those who have never sung the Psalms, it's a major hurdle to get over. And just what thought about it.
Well, I don't take that. Excuse me. Yeah, I don't take the exclusive position, so it's not a problem for me. I think that it's wonderful to sing hymns that name the name of Christ, but I also want to sing psalms. Does anybody here know we sang 98 last night? Do you know the name of Watts's version of Psalm 98? Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Yes. Yeah. And if you see the whole of his text, he actually does follow it fairly closely. Psalm 72 is Jesus shall reign. Psalm 90 is our God, our help in ages past. Yeah, I don't have any complaints about those. I just wouldn't want them to replace singing the psalm text more closely and literally like we do in metrical psalmody. I think so, yes. Yeah, I think David Hall was having services where he was using the metrical version and other, like O Worship the King, I think is Robert Grant's Psalm 104, where you were using complementary hymns based on the Psalms, A Mighty Fortress is Psalm 46, loosely rendered. Yes, they can be complementary. I don't want to replace either one of them. I just want both. Include the Psalms. That would be the point. Yes. Yes, the comment was that as a congregation, they began singing a psalm a month, and they did so by singing the hymn that uses the tune, and then they sang the psalm after they sang the hymn. And that helped to bridge the gap. We were singing strange words with strange tunes week after week, for one of three. You know, it was just one of three, and they weren't all that strange, most of the tunes, but all the words were new. Yes.
If time and resources were not an issue, what would you do to improve it?
I would have the one line of music, the musical score with one line of the psalm and the text underneath and on the next page, so that music and words were available in a reasonably sized hardbound or leather-bound edition, Weimar, whatever they call this stuff, that's for the birds. I would like a nice hardback version with the music, Smythe-sewn, well-bound. Well, I would say that the Trinity Psalter is a preliminary attempt. It does have five or six of the Genevan tunes. It draws heavily from the 1912 Psalter, which was the basic book that the CRC used up until 1987, when the new Psalter hymnal came out. And so the common ground between what the Dutch have been using in the 20th century and what other American Presbyterians have been using has been the 1912 Psalter. And Trinity Psalter is heavily weighted by that. But, you know, there's lots of improvement that could be done. There just needs to be interest and availability. Right. To sort of paraphrase as we were going through the attempt to put together the Trinity Psalter, we knew it would not be a perfect production, but I quoted from Jim Kennedy, who said about EE that he liked his evangelism program, the evangelism program he was using, better than the one that others were not using. And that's really where I am on the Trinity Psalter. It's not all that it could be, but it's better than the one that others aren't using. And it's fairly inexpensive and available, and it fits in the hymnal rack. Yes, by June.
Okay, and then the second one, what would be the desirability or even practical nature of trying to produce a Psalter hymnal? The Banner Street Ministers Conference, they often sing from the Psalter hymnal, so you've got the psalms, you've got the hymns, all between two others, or even producing something like this in a split thing where you've got the music at the top or at the bottom of the words.
I'd be skeptical about the ability to talk the PCA into doing that and to dedicating. Well, they dedicated, like the Scottish hymnal, the front 200 pages are the 150 psalms. Do you think that we could talk General Assembly into doing that? I'm skeptical. That Excuse me? Yeah, that would be wonderful. I'd like to see them do it, but I don't have any confidence in that. I lose most votes at the General Assembly. Any other questions? Yes.
Other church seems to have psalms and half hymns. And notice that your list of bulletins I've collected so far, they mentioned it look pretty much like ours. And the discerning reader, once in a while, asks a question. And we notice a few psalms, we notice a few hymns, but they point out a third category that's missing. Of course, you have the language of spiritual songs. I'm just wondering, what is your book?
I'm rather skeptical about taking that biblical terminology and applying it to a category of song that appeared in 1970. You know, are hymns not songs of the Spirit, spiritual songs, songs of the Spirit? Are psalms not songs of the Spirit? And so really, you're talking about a class of song and whether or not that's one that deserves its own category in a category other than that of hymn and psalm. And I'm reluctant to give it its own category and say that it's obligatory that we use them. I don't think that it falls into a separate category. I think instead that it needs to be judged either as a psalm or a hymn. And that's the way I look at it. And so if it's a psalm, I'm reluctant to use it because I want to sing the whole psalm or a large section of the psalm, not a verse or a couple of lines that I repeat over and over. And likewise, if it's a hymn, we have a certain amount of discretionary time to use in the service for singing. And so when we sing, we make a decision to do one thing and not another. We make a decision to sing one thing and not another. And so I'm not concerned about when things were written. I'm concerned that they have the content, that the weight of biblical content is there, whether it's a hymn or a psalm. And I'm concerned that it musically transcend narrow cultural appeal. And so sometimes that may involve singing something that was written in 1980. And then it may end up singing words that go back to 1000 BC or that are from the Middle Ages. And then the music can come from most any era. But I think that musically I want it to transcend the Victorian tastes of our older people, the preference for swing music of my dad's generation, the love of soft rock of the boomers, the love of rap among some of our kids. I want to use the church's music. I want it to transcend narrow generational and cultural appeal. So I'm probably not going to buy the argument that is a third class that's biblically required in an over and above psalms and hymns.
Follow up with your questions with Terry afterwards. Thank you, Terry, for this presentation.